Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Margaret Feinberg with a discussion on the God you need to know.
And so we start to recognize that through Scripture, we may see one taking a lead, but all are present. And the same is true in our life, that just as we can have a relationship with God, just as we can have a relationship with Christ, we can have a vibrant relationship with Holy Spirit each and every day. And Christ promised that.
Margaret Feinberg, next. Today on His People, Sonny Cain sits down with Margaret Feinberg, a beloved Bible teacher and host of the Joycast podcast. Margaret was once named by Christianity Today as one of 50 women most shaping culture and the church today. Today's conversation centers on the Holy Spirit, a topic that can spark passionate discussion, especially among the most devout religious circles. Margaret invites us into her personal exploration and discovery of the God you need to know, a relationship that ignites a vibrant faith. Listen in as Margaret takes us on a journey of the Spirit's presence through the Old Testament on the road to Pentecost. You'll see it's possible to experience the Holy Spirit's power and presence in your everyday life.
Margaret, I'm so glad you're here. God has given you a gift for storytelling, and you really have a unique and beautiful approach to inviting people in to discover God's heart. And so I just want to welcome you to our His People program today.
What a delight to be with you.
So we're here to talk about your brand new book, The God You Need to Know, which is really an invitation to experience the Holy Spirit's power and presence in our lives today. But as we get started, for those who may be meeting you for the first time, I'd love to hear how you would describe your passion and maybe your calling in this season of life.
Ooh, that is such a great question. I feel like over the last almost 30 years it's been, I have been writing, started out writing little reviews in the back of little Christian magazines and working my way up to news stories, feature stories, cover stories, and eventually books. And then people said, could you come teach on that? And so I've been traveling and teaching. But anybody who's listening, who's done anything for any length of time in whatever God has gifted you and called you to, knows that there are seasons where you grow weary, and that call to just be faithful and to continue, not necessarily in the exact thing you've been doing, but in the overarching theme. I think sometimes, especially in Christian language, we get really boxed into thinking, well, I must be a teacher or a writer or an engineer. And yet those giftings have a broader calling as a communicator, perhaps, or as somebody who is a designer or somebody who has mechanical capabilities. And that starts to, when we look at it a broader perspective, like branch out into so many different ways. And so just to recognize that in the stage I'm called to communicate, whether that is this week hanging out with my niece and nephews and imparting God's love and just joy and so many fun in the Margaret and Leif Wonder Camp, or whether that is sending out an e-newsletter, or whether that is just taking time to talk to my neighbor. And so to remain steadfast and faithful and not grow weary in doing good.
Can you share just a bit of the backstory of what led you into this deep exploration of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, I was raised by a Jewish father and a Gentile mother who came to know Jesus back in the 1970s during the Jesus movement. And so they became very aware and open to the working of Holy Spirit. And so we went to a ton of different churches growing up. We moved around a lot. We lived in Florida, North Carolina, Colorado. We attended Methodist, Charismatic, non-denominational, Episcopal, Presbyterian, Southern Baptist. We attended so many different churches. And I remember always asking questions about Holy Spirit. And when I would ask questions, I would get very different answers. And kind of growing up in part around some of those more charismatic expressions, I also saw some of the ways that people would do things in the name of the Spirit to control, to manipulate, or at times to even cause harm. harm and claim the Holy Spirit in things that God really wasn't involved in at all. And so I think that made me take a step back for a lot of years, to be honest. I felt like I'd seen some of the overreaching and at times even the abuse, and just was like, you know what? I need time away. I need time to heal. I need the time to really ground myself in the scripture. And so it was decades and decades. And if you would have asked me 20 years ago, I would have said, I am never, ever doing a book on Holy Spirit. And then about 2019, when we all had good ideas before the world fell apart, I was like, you know what? I think it's time. And then the world fell apart and all went sideways and catawampy and became so much more polarized. And so I'd said, I want to write this book, and I committed it with my publisher. But I was like, oh, how do I do this in a way that makes people like me who have been hurt and wounded in the past, alongside those who maybe have never really been taught about the Holy Spirit, to really discover the Spirit anew? And so I wrestled with this for probably 3 to 4 years. And then I discovered this incredible professor out of Texas who's name is Jack Levinson. And in his writings and his research, he really focused on Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And all of a sudden, it started to open up to me anew. Because growing up in the church, wherever I asked about Holy Spirit, most people's go-to response was go to the book of Acts, go to Pentecost, Acts 2. And it is awesome, except the only problem being my daily life doesn't look like that. And so it becomes this weird thing where you're trying to look for Holy Spirit in the spectacular and the great, grandiose, miraculous, and missing the reality that Holy Spirit is in and with us every day. And so as I started to look at Holy Spirit, I began to discover the Spirit throughout the Old Testament in places like I'd never even seen before. And finally, I realized once we understand Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, that then when we get to Acts 2 and Pentecost, it's not weird or strange or bizarre, but we can't help but think, oh, of course it would happen this way. And all of a sudden, that strange and that weird and that hesitance, and maybe some of the places where we have been wounded or seen abuse, can receive healing and go, yeah, you know what? This is just a normal part of following Jesus and something that we all need and is a source of so much joy, but also flourishing.
It's interesting. I notice in your language itself where a lot of people would say, you know, I want to know more about the Holy Spirit. And I hear you saying Holy Spirit. Is there something to that?
Yeah, you know, it was something I discovered. I heard a woman at a conference years ago, when she was talking about Holy Spirit, all of a sudden she dropped the. And as she was talking, I started to realize, oh my gosh, my own thinking, because I'd always been raised the Holy Spirit. I mean, what is it? It's Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting because you would never say the Margaret. You would never say, I was talking to the Jesus today. Like if someone said that, you'd be like, you're weird. And you would say, I was talking to the God, you know, and you go, oh, Holy Spirit is not the, it's not an entity. Holy Spirit is a person, part of the triune God, and the mystery that they are three in one. Growing up, I, you know, was often exposed to, you know, in Sunday school, just some really just easy to understand, you know, basic descriptions comparing, you know, the mystery of the Trinity to an apple with its skin and its core and its seeds, or an egg with the shell and the white and the yolk, and how they were separate and yet one. And while there is no image that singularly can capture the mystery and the wonder and the breadth of our triune God. In this research in the God You Need to Know book and study, I stumbled upon this word called perichoresis. And it's a theological term that's used to describe the internal workings of the triune God. And the word peri, meaning around, and the word choresis comes from that base word of chorus or dance. And so there is this dancing with or this dancing around of Father, Son, and Spirit. And that just brought such new light to me to understand the beauty of the Trinity throughout Scripture, because at different parts of Scripture, we'll see one member of the Trinity taking the lead. So for instance, in the beginning, God takes the lead speaking creation into existence. And yet we see the Spirit hovering over the waters, and Jesus referenced both in the phrase, we, they were all present and referred to later in the Psalms and the Proverbs, Or we see in the life of Christ, Christ taking the lead in the dance, but the Spirit readily there, descending like a dove, the Father echoing, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased, listen to him." Or in Pentecost, Holy Spirit taking the lead, but fulfilling the promise of Christ, of the one that they would wait to receive, and the reality of God's power and presence. And so we start to recognize that through Scripture, we may see one taking the lead, but all are present. And the same is true in our life, that just as we can have a relationship with God, just as we can have a relationship with Christ, we can have a vibrant relationship with Holy Spirit each and every day. And Christ promised that.
I love the invitational language that you use there. I can hear through what you're describing, recognizing in the book of Acts, my experience, my personal experience with Holy Spirit might look very different than that book of Acts, but I can feel this invitation into what you describe as the God we need to know. And in that, one thing I noticed in your book is you went through and explored a lot of Old Testament characters. Specifically, what my heart, I mean, I read it multiple times when you talk about the story of Gideon and what you describe as the Spirit who wears us well. Could you unpack that for our listeners today?
I love Gideon for 1,000 different reasons, but one of the reasons I love him is because he was kind of the guy who was like, "Are you sure, God? Are you sure this is you? Are you sure this is you? I'm still not sure this is you." He is the guy who runs back into the house 17 times to make sure the iron is turned off. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he's like a little OCD in all the best ways. And so he's constantly, "God, if this is you, you got to do this. I just want to make sure. And I love that, because I think that gives us freedom in the discernment process to be like, "God, I really need to know. I really need to know. And we see time and time again in Gideon's story that God never gets frustrated. He's never angry. He's never miffed. He's like, okay, I'll confirm it again and again and again. But there's this incredible moment in Judges 6:34 when it talks about the Spirit. It says, actually, in many texts, it'll say the Spirit clothed Gideon. But I love it because I found two people and scholars who translated it a little bit different and use this imagery in the translation. And they said, actually, what it can be translated as, the Spirit wore Gideon like a garment. And when I saw that, my heart just leaped, because we know that as followers of Christ, that Christ lives in us, that the Holy Spirit is in us. But that imagery of being in Christ, right, clothed in Christ, kind of, it's almost like it goes both ways. That just as the Spirit is in us, there are times in our daily lives when He is going to wear us like a garment. He is going to be the one that is that motivating surge of energy, surge of change of behavior that is focused Christward, outward, otherward. And we are but the garment. And what does a garment do for the one who wears it? The garment is contoured to the one who wears it. And we are contoured to the Spirit and the work of Christ as He just uses us and wears us in our everyday. And I think there is such freedom and such grace in that we don't have to be a people who strive and are trying hard and have to pray X number of minutes and read X number of scriptures. Not that prayer and scripture are not wonderful for fueling our relationship with God, but that it's not based on us. It is based on a very good God and the gift of His living, vibrant presence in us.
How could somebody become more aware of maybe when we're having those moments that the Holy Spirit is wearing us like a garment?
Let me give three different ways. I love practical.
Yeah.
I buy Costco toilet paper. Like, who doesn't need 72,000 rolls at a time? And I feel the same way in my spiritual life. Like, I'm like, these are all great concepts, but how do I live this out? I think one of the ways that we know that and we see that, you know, we will never hear from God as loud or clear, as precisely or concisely as we're spending time in Scripture. And so there are going to be times in your relationship with the Spirit that, you know, what does Christ say? He says that the Spirit will bring all things to mind. And so as you're going about your day and you have that scripture just fluttering in your mind, know that that is the work of Holy Spirit, that Spirit that encourages, inspires, maybe that passage that just fortifies, that strengthens you in that moment, or that scripture or that concept or that story that you give to someone else that strengthens them. That is a work and a marker of Holy Spirit wearing you like a garment. I think second is if we want to experience and become more aware of Holy Spirit, I think one of the key things, and I really struggle with this, is when it comes to prayer. I don't know about you, but I'm really good at talking to God. I'm less good at talking with God. And so if you want to become more attuned to how the Holy Spirit both is wearing you and wants to wear you, I think it's a matter of making space to listen. And for a lot of us in our culturally stuffed, noisy world, it's actually a muscle we have to develop because our culture is atrophying us from this reality. And so it may start with just setting an alarm on your watch or your phone for a minute or 2 minutes. But after you pray, to take time to listen. One of the disciplines that's helped me, I started this a number of years ago, was it was actually Lent. And I'll just tell a little story. So it was Lent and I was like, I know what I'm going to give up for Lent this year. And I thought, I'm going to give up prayer. And like all my Christian friends are like, I don't think that's what Lent in the season before Christ's death and resurrection is for. And I said, well, I'm not going to give up all prayer. I'm going to give up long prayers. And so I limited myself for 40 days to just praying 3-word prayers. And what was fascinating is, number one, the first week or two, how incredibly hard it was. Like, my run-on sentences with God are fabulous. But really boiling down what I'm asking for in just a couple of words, and then taking the time to sit with those words with God, to see what scriptures, what faces, what people, what ideas might come to mind. And what I found over those 40 days is that it became 3-word prayers, and then one day and it just became 2-word prayers. And then eventually it just became a 1-word prayer. And sometimes I would just speak a name like Kelsey or Jerome or provision. And there was so much that I was asking God and Holy Spirit in that one word. And then taking the time to listen and then pay attention to how Holy Spirit might answer. And so I think scripture, I think making space to listen. And then third, I think a great way is listening for what I call the sacred echoes. There is a repetitive nature to God's voice in our life. And that is not because anybody is hard-headed or that you are dumb. I never like it when Christians are like, well, God has to say things a lot of times because I'm dumb or hard-headed. God did not make you that way. That is a false narrative from our culture and our world and religious guilt. The truth is that God made you good, 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 and in his image. And he's put you on the path to redemption. But when God speaks to us, often it's not so much for information as for transformation. And so God is going to echo those same things in our lives in order that he would get the depths of his power and his presence within us. So look for the times when you're reading something and the word pops off the page, and then you go to lunch and your friends bring up the topic in conversation, and then all of a sudden the algorithm in your social media just keeps spitting out that same idea, whether it's rest or peace or love or forgiveness, and recognize that is the Holy Spirit in you, working in you and wearing you like a garment.
That is so beautiful. And I really loved the challenge of 1-word prayers. And yet I can think of seasons in my life where, without knowing, God invited me into that, maybe because I was completely zapped of all strength because I was in such hardship. And I can think of this wilderness season where I felt so paralyzed by the weight of what we were walking through that all I had to offer to God was just 2 words, God help.
Yeah.
God help. And I remember in that the difficulty of the silence when maybe I was making space to listen, but not necessarily hearing back from God, just God help. but yet there would be a stillness that would come over me. And I bring this up to say, I think there is a hesitancy sometimes, a fear that keeps people held back from engaging in what you're talking about because of the fear of, what if I don't have the ability to hear from God? I'm afraid to do one word prayers because I'm not like Margaret. Maybe God won't speak to me in that way. What would you say to a person that may be having this wrestle, Margaret?
Yeah, sometimes I'm so broken, I can't even cry out help. And so my prayer, honestly, is something like PLEH. Like, I take the four letters from help and I misspell them to God because I'm that desperate. So I know those places. I live in those places quite regularly. You know, there's a passage in the Gospel of John that Jesus says, that you are my sheep and the sheep will know my voice. Years ago, I went and spent time with a shepherd up in Oregon and just learning about sheep in the Bible and studying that in real time with a real shepherd. And I remember we came to the top of her field and all of a sudden we were looking out and there were these sheep that dotted the landscape. And she looked at me and she started whispering. And I looked at her and I go, Lynn, why are we whispering? And she said, because at the very first sound of my voice, they will all come running. And with that, she said, sheep, sheep, sheep. And the entire flock bolted toward her. And then in that moment, I realized that a sheep is wired and designed and created to respond to the voice of its shepherd, just as you and I are wired and created and designed to respond to the voice of God. Are there things we can do to make it more difficult? Sure, we can run to the far edge of the field. We can poke our head through the mesh gate. We can try to get away. But you and I, no matter who you are wired and designed and created for this. One of the challenges that I have seen, and I talk about this in the book and the Bible study, is that so often the way that people talk about hearing from God, they use language that is more of a closed door than an open invitation. And so they use words like, God told me. Well, the problem with that trump card, you've immediately shut down the conversation for any engagement, any feedback, any humility, rather than just saying, hey, I've been praying and I kind of sense this. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? And so I think sometimes we're hesitant because people come in with a strong thing that maybe we've never sensed. But I think the other reason is that we don't realize the incredible variety of ways through which the Holy Spirit speaks. I have an e-newsletter, and in this research for this book, I reached out to literally tens of thousands of people, and I asked them, I want to know, how does Holy Spirit speak to you? And I was blown away by the diversity. I mean, it was so different. You know, Psalm 139 describes that God knew us, but when we were in the womb, He knows us, our strengths, our weaknesses, our hesitancies, our hangups, our gifting. He knows all those things. He also created us as verbal learners, auditory, visual, tactile. He created us, we know now, it's with neurodiversity in the way our brains process information. Like me, you may be ADD, ADHD. God and the Holy Spirit know all of that. He knows how to communicate in ways that will specifically meet you. And so to look at someone else and think, well, God has to speak to me in the exact same way that He spoke to them it's silly, right? Like that's ridiculous. He did not make carbon copies. He made unique people. And so I heard stories of people who would describe senses in their bodies, which I don't get. They would sense, well, I know it's the Holy Spirit when I kind of feel this burning in my chest. Or I feel like this liquid love, or like there's this warm hug, or some will describe this calmness in their bodies. Other describe, like I experience sometimes, thoughts that pop into their head that are not their own, but are so Christward and other focused, you couldn't mistake it for not being part of Christ and His kingdom. Others have Bible passages come to mind. Other people, I remember one woman wrote in and she was like, well, I experience Holy Spirit because whenever I'm lost somewhere, I ask Holy Spirit to go, and He just gives me the directions. And I just have to be honest, like I was like, I hadn't heard that before, and that just sounds a little weird. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this lady, like, got her own GPS or what? And I thought about it for a second. I thought, man, I want her on my team. I mean, right, the Israelites would have loved to have had her on their team. And when we start to talk and give this grace to all the different ways Holy Spirit is nudging and leading and prompting, we actually pull together as a community, each bringing our gifts and our awareness and painting this more beautiful revelation of the work that Christ is doing in our midst.
I love the way that you're broadening the perspective of how we can hear from Holy Spirit. I think that as humans, we like to put God in a box. We like to put everything in a box, but God in a box, and he can only show up in the ways that I envisioned him. And the comparison that we do of I have to hear like Susie Peanut hears, I go, wow, your broadening of that was absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much for that. Now, you have done a ton of research on Holy Spirit. And I also know that in the research aspect, that that's married to personal experience of the Holy Spirit. And I'm curious, after this journey, how would you what words would you use to describe him? And how has this new knowledge of him transformed your life?
I would say one of the words that I was used to, you know, we can go to the Gospels, we can use Paraclete, he's our advocate, he's our comforter, he is, and I'm sorry for using, I want to correct one thing. I'm just going to stop and go off on a side tangent. Okay, so people freak out because sometimes there are certain denominations who will refer to Holy Spirit as she. And for those in more conservative audiences, often that is shocking. I did something in the God You Need to Know, and I actually never used he or she to refer to Holy Spirit, which is very tricky writing, by the way. But the reason was, is because the word for spirit in Hebrew is the word ruach. And it can mean a spirit, breath, air, angel, among other things. And so there are places where you've read about the spirit in possibly one of your translations or not read it where it actually is, which is fascinating as well. But ruach is a feminine word, and it is a she. And so I didn't want to get in any of that debate. That's not my jam. So, but I just refer to the spirit as spirit. So I think if I were to describe the spirit is incredibly generous, very kind. The work of the spirit is that the spirit is constantly revealing the character, the competence, and the compassion of God. The Spirit is bringing to mind scriptures. The Spirit is working communally. In Americana church, often we are kind of taught that this is my own personal little in my own corner closet relationship with Jesus. And that is inconsistent with A, the scripture, B, the way God has fashioned each of us, and third, church history. We are a community of followers of Christ. And it is amazing that once you start talking to people about Holy Spirit, how you start to recognize how active and how engaged the Spirit is. You know, I grew up where, and in some church circles where they say, well, Holy Spirit does things, you know, outside the United States, but not inside the United States. Why is that? And I completely disagree. I don't think the Spirit of God has like man-made geographical limits. I think that's in our mind. I don't think that's in reality. But what I do think is that because of some of the ways that our culture is, the United States, there are many who are hesitant to talk about the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. But as I gather around dinner tables and I just ask the question, I'm just curious, like, how does the Holy Spirit work in your life? When was the last time you sensed the Spirit? Man, the stories come alive. Believers have them. They do. And so I think one of the things that I've been challenged to do more, and I think it's just so empowering if you want to awaken your own relationship with Holy Spirit, is talk about the Spirit with others. Be courageous enough to say, hey, what does the Holy Spirit look like, feel like, sense like in your life? And understand that everybody's response is going to be different. I can't tell you how many times I've sat in a worship service and the worship leader will be like, do you feel the Spirit's presence? And I'm like, nope, not at all. I don't. Like, good for you, buddy. Not me. And to know, that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay. But I think talking about the Spirit, recognizing the generosity and the interweaving that the Spirit is doing throughout believers in your location, in your state, in your nation, and around the world is breathtaking.
I want our listeners to grab your book because you go into so much that we really can't address today because of time limits. You talk about the God in our dreams. You talk about the artisan spirit and in creativity. You share so much. And so if you are listening today, you have got to pick up Margaret's book. You can also catch up with her on margaretfeinberg.com. But in closing today, I am curious, why is he the God that we need to know?
I think because for many of us, the emphasis has in our culture been on knowing Jesus, following Jesus' name. My answer to that is yes, yes, and more yes. We know God. God is referenced. It is studied. But for so many of us, like myself, the Holy Spirit is still part of the Trinity that is a mystery. You know, we list God, Father, and Spirit, and often they're equal and they're one, but we tend to put Holy Spirit as third. And some would say, you know, the silent or the hesitant member of the Trinity, and that is not true at all. But knowing the Holy Spirit will empower, comfort, and transform your life and provide such excitement. I mean, Holy Spirit has little adventures, little prompts, those little things that you don't want to do. Go talk to the stranger, go call and make it right, go apologize, go send the card, give the gift. On the other side of that, so often there are good things waiting, and some of them you're not going to see until the other side of heaven. But as you step out in those prompts and those nudges, you are going to be somebody who is reminded that you are loved by God, you are seen by God, you are heard by God, and you are part of His kingdom. And man, that is something each and every one of us needs today.
I feel the excitement there. It's like a sense of adventure, and it makes me want to say, buckle up, my friend. You know, just buckle up on this journey with Holy Spirit. Well, Margaret, this has been such a rich conversation. I thank you for investing in our His People audience. And friends, I want to encourage you to pick up her book, The God You Need to Know. It is available now wherever books are sold. And we just pray, Margaret, that you would continue to teach the body of Christ about this God that we need to know. And may the Spirit continue to wear you well.
Thank you.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, podcaster and Bible teacher Margaret Feinberg, author of The God You Need to Know. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Brad Brandon on the persecution crisis between Christians and Muslims in Nigeria.
And the Fulani are an extremely tight-knit community, and they're prone to violence. That's their culture. That's their people. And so they come back and retaliate. Even just several weeks ago, there was a massacre of 200 Christians between Fulani herders and Christian farmers. And it all started... The catalyst of it is that controversy between herders and farmers.
That's tomorrow at the same time right here on His People. Thanks for listening.